City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the Live X studios in Midtown Manhattan. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap today?
Today, we're going to wallow in the morass of whatever the hell that was in Washington and get ready for a suddenly dangerous Buffalo team. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Geronimo Allison.
We got the bad. We got
Randall Cobb. Mm.
And we got the ugly. We got
the Green Bay Packers.
Ouch.
I'm sorry to do it. I'm sorry to say, but they were ugly on Sunday. Every aspect of that team that we saw there in our nation's capital on Sunday afternoon, many of our viewers here today and maybe people listening later on the podcast undoubtedly watched you and I in our maiden watch party voyage here at Cheesehead TV.
That was fun.
The watch party was fun. Watching the game itself?
Not so much.
Not so much.
You know, it's week three, though.
It is week
three. It's week three.
A lot of ball game.
Got to get a little perspective. People come to Packer Transplants for perspective. They come for the analysis.
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
They come for the perspective
of
a fan.
Is there someone involved in the show that I'm not aware of that is going to provide this? Because they ain't going to get it from us, that's for sure.
All I know is it's only week three.
It is only week three. And that means there's a lot of news. But by the time you get to week three, things start happening, which of course means injuries. So let's get to it in the news. Number one, the Packers. The Packers signed a free agent in season. They signed cornerback Bashaud Breeland. This guy was a pretty highly sought after free agent in the spring. Agreed to terms with the Carolina Panthers on a 3-year deal, but then had a foot injury that got infected, and failed his physical. And so he's been taking all this time getting back his health, basically. And you can bet that if the Packers medical team has cleared this kid, he should be good to go. So, obviously, the corresponding move there is Devon House being placed on injured reserve. Now, it's Devon House, and Mo Wilkerson most likely, or is going to be placed on injured reserve, though that hasn't officially happened yet. But the Devon House move, House was dealing with a shoulder injury. Actually, Breeland is a step up, in my opinion, as far as their play on the field. Now, yes, House was dealing with an injury.
It seems like a lot of people are excited about Breeland.
Well, they should be.
I'm excited.
You should help them as far as not only on the boundary, but in the slot as well. He's very flexible. He can play pretty much anywhere you want, anywhere, every corners. You've seen through these first 3 weeks how kind of multiple Mike Pettine is, so it's a good thing. Next up, another injury situation. Nick Perry still in the concussion protocol. Obviously left the game late in Washington on Sunday afternoon. Mike McCarthy saying this morning that he is still in the concussion protocol. We all know the drill here. Every concussion is different. Some guys bounce back quickly. Some guys it lingers. We'll have to see on Nick.
I'm going to blame that one on Michael Cohen.
Because of the article he wrote.
Michael Cohen comes out with an article. Hey, everybody's using fancy helmets. There's no concussion yet. And concussion. Thanks, and Michael.
Cue concussion.
Appreciate that, Michael.
Oh, my goodness. Next up, Aaron Rodgers and Kevin King, both in the rehab group. Neither one of them practicing today on Wednesday. Obviously, Kevin King, that continues to be a concern. But Aaron Rodgers, we need to get this guy on the practice field.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the whole year.
I mean, at least they're practicing on Wednesday, unlike last week. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the gig. But Aaron Rodgers, not out there.
I mean, don't you think that's going to be how the year goes?
I don't think it'll be the whole year, but it'll definitely be a few more weeks.
There's some reports that he's even saying, like, he feels it getting worse. So if it's getting worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of that was generated off that one kind of throwaway comment he had in the locker room last week where someone said, are you worried that it might get worse? And he said, yeah, there's always that concern or something like that. And then, you know, the internet goes to town and they blew that up into something that it really wasn't. Speaking of injuries, Justin McCray, Most likely going to miss. He hasn't been declared out yet, but he will most likely miss the game against Buffalo. Our good buddy, friend of show, Rob Domofsky, reporting last night that the Packers are planning on starting Byron Bell at right guard. Look out.
Holy moly.
Now, I am of the opinion that Bell is a much better guard than he is a tackle. But that's only comforting insofar as that Byron Bell is a terrible, and I mean god-awful, tackle.
Mm.
So he's slightly less horrid, putrid, awful when playing guard.
There's nothing better than in week three having all bad options.
Yeah, well,
love
yeah.
it. Love it.
But hey, speaking of all bad options, where's the silver lining? What really would have been an issue is if Brian Bulaga had been made to sit out because of the back injury that, you know, had him leave the Washington game early. But Brian Bulaga practiced today, albeit in a limited fashion.
That's good.
But that is a good sign.
Yes, it is.
Because if Aaron Rodgers were to trot out there against that Buffalo front on Sunday with Jason Spriggs and Byron Bell as his right side, much like some of that stretch in the game against Washington was, whew, Nelly.
Jason Spriggs got beat a lot.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Like, there were at least four plays. You had one that you outlined on Twitter, but there were at least four plays where he is there someone there blocking?
I'm going to point out something on the YouTube chat here. Mike Witt, I'm right there with you, Mike. Mike says, just sign Jahri Evans already. I mean, Evans did a fine job for them last year. Yes, he's a year older. Yes, his play declined a little bit as the year went on. But he's worlds better than Byron Bell. Worlds better. Why they are, you know, not bringing him back, I don't know.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to point something out on the Facebook chat.
Ooh, are you? happening on the Facebook chat?
I'm
going
to give a shout-out to Madi from Israel.
What's up?
So what's Israel up, Israel?
Checking in.
What's up, Israel? You know.
We always say it, dedicated to Packer fans worldwide. That's around the globe, people. All right, so let's talk about the offense.
Mm.
It was hard to watch. It was a sloppy affair. And as we just alluded to, it all starts with Rodgers being unable to practice. I think you saw a number of instances in Washington where guys just weren't on the same page.
Yeah.
I did put this particular play on Twitter. It was a third and short. They're running an RPO. He pulls the ball and looks to Adams, who's expecting to be running a slant, and Adams is run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, with his gimpy knee, has to pull it down and run for the first down. He picked it up, but that's not what you want. you want to get the ball out of your quarterback's hands. There were so many instances of that. There was a throw to the end zone to Cobb where it really looked like they were having different ideas of what kind of coverage they were trying to beat. And that's just something that you don't see happen a lot between Cobb. And this is Cobb and Rodgers. They've played a million snaps together, and they were not on the same page. And that's concerning.
Well, typically, if he's practicing, every week, you see some new little wrinkle that he's worked on with the guy, right?
Exactly.
So it's that time. I mean, it's even like you and I. We've improved this show every week.
Yeah, that's debatable.
Little by little in increments. Incrementally improved, but it's the same thing, right? You spend enough time with each other, you kind of go through, you get through the process, and then you find these little wrinkles. You know, I think that's why Mercedes Lewis is not more in the offense. I think that's why we really haven't seen, Jimmy Graham hasn't had a takeover game yet that I thought he was going to have by this point in the season.
Right.
That hasn't happened, and he's going to his crutches, Geronimo, right? Geronimo's a crutch. He's a guy he knows, right?
Yep. He's a guy he trusts.
Exactly. Bob and Devontae, of course, you have to go. Devontae should be the hot read on
every play.
But pretty much.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned Jimmy Graham. The news broke after the script was written here, but we should add here Wednesday afternoon. It just came out prior to us going live. Jimmy Graham did not practice today. No one knew why until the injury report came out. Jimmy Graham dealing with a knee injury.
Ooh.
So maybe we will see some more Mercedes Lewis, simply by the fact that he'll have to get bumped up the depth chart a little bit if Graham is unable to go. Now, we don't know anything about anything on Graham yet, as the Packers are always doing. They had Mike McCarthy speak this morning, so now we have to wait till tomorrow till we can ask him what's up with Graham. So we'll see how. No one knows the severity of that injury.
In some ways, You know, I want to say something about the offense that I kind of, you know, we were talking about how, you know, maybe no one is responding to Mike McCarthy, but I want to talk about something where Mike McCarthy has never been a coach. He's never had this problem that a lot of teams have, where most teams, they might have a good quarterback and one good receiver, right?
Right.
And so look at Detroit, look at Dallas, look at, you know, whatever. We've been against teams where we know it's going to a guy.
Yep.
And it goes to him, and there's nothing we can do about it, right?
The NFC Championship game comes to mind with Plaxico Burress and Al Harris.
Yeah, and much like, you know, when it's kind of like you're doing an indie film, right? And you don't have the money, or you're doing an indie theater, whatever it is creatively, right?
Yep.
And you don't have the budget, or you don't have the tools that you would want for your vision.
You would die for.
A lot of times, it forces you to be more creative with what you have. And so in the same way where I think people are a little bit upset, like, why? Like, you have Aaron Jones back, right? And people would say, well, why? Why isn't he using them? It's almost like we've always had this juggling, and I've been a big fan of it, where it's like weapons, right?
Right.
My favorite thing on the offense is weapons. How can if you can throw it?
If you ever watch it, now that we're doing watch parties, this will come up eventually.
I love weapons.
When the offense does end up getting in sync, you'll hear Banky say it like 100 times a game. Too many weapons. Just too many weapons.
And so it's almost like he's trying to create that milieu where it's like, I want to have 12. Look, when your offense throws to 12 people or 8
right.
people even,
yeah.
it's amazing, right? Yeah. You're able, how can any defensive coordinator stop that? But like, I just love one game where McCarthy goes, you know what? We're going to hot read every time to Devontae and go through the progression.
Him.
We are going to feed Devontae on passes, and we're going to feed Aaron Jones. And the only time we're not going to feed Aaron Jones is the third time he runs the ball. Like, we're
not, because
you know you don't want to do that, because in Madden, you'll fumble the ball, right? So, you know, you don't want to be three times in a row.
I know what you mean, though. Like, rather than what they all, the old football coach saying, the Jimmys and Joes, not X's and O's. You know, think players, not plays.
Yeah.
And get those guys the ball. I agree. The Aaron Jones thing, I know that's a hot topic online, and for good reason, because I think it's blindingly obvious how talented he is and how nearly every time he touches the ball, something positive happens. And I get Jamal Williams is in there and has been doing yeoman's work, especially in pass protection. I get that Ty Montgomery is a versatile weapon that gives you a lot of flexibility on offense. But holy Toledo, a blind man can see how exciting Aaron Jones is with the ball in his hands. And to have him, what do you get, like 6 carries? It's malfeasance. It's bamboozlement.
Yeah.
You feature your talent. You've got, like you're talking about, they've got an abundance of it. I understand that you want to spread the ball around, but man, feed the hot hand. Feed the guy who's clearly the most talented back in your backfield.
Yeah.
It's a frustration. I get why he doesn't do it. I don't agree with it, but I understand his logic and his thinking behind it, trying to maximize all the tools that he has on offense. But, it's annoying when you see somebody that talented get underutilized.
And I get the logic. And look, I'm like the first person who doesn't like to, like, I don't like to look back and go, oh, yeah, you should. Hindsight's easy, right? Mm-hmm. You should have called whatever. Mm-hmm. That's simple. And I don't like to judge play calls. But I do feel like there is a staleness to this offense. I used to feel about this offense, right, where no matter what happened, now a little bit is Aaron's knee, but I just used to feel like this offense, no matter what happened, there never were 3 drives they didn't get it done, right? And you got a sense of that. Look, you got a sense of that against the Vikings. You definitely got that. They owned, except for the very end of the fourth quarter, they offensively owned the Vikings in the fourth quarter.
Right.
They did whatever they wanted to do. They did their game plan. And so I guess when you can do that and you're Mike McCarthy, you're like, no, I can do that. I got to get to that.
I can
so
always do that.
He's always trying to get to that. And so he never flips the script, though. Have you ever seen this offense flip the script on themselves? Have you ever seen this offense decide, hey, we're going to go against a defense that can't stop the run, so we're just going to run it all the time?
Right.
You never really see that. It's always
There's always seems to be like one point in the game. And it's funny because Mike actually literally said this to me the first time I ever spoke to him for Cheesehead TV years ago. And ever since then, I've kind of noticed it. And it's not something I really ever paid attention to prior to that. But there's always a point in the game where Mike says, okay, now we're going to pound the football.
Yeah.
Like every single game, there is a point where he goes, like, and it's so funny because people get so mad that he quote unquote forgets the run. But Aaron Rodgers is a part of that.
Yeah.
Like, Aaron Rodgers is reading the defensive front. He's calling checks and things at the line of scrimmage, blah, 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 blah. But at some point, during nearly every game Mike McCarthy has been a play caller, there is a drive where he says, okay, we are going to pound the football now. And it's funny. After he said that, I was like, Yeah, that makes sense.
And then you watch. Yes, as long as we're not behind by a lot.
And that's the other thing. He does say, you know, down and distance, blah, 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 game situation, that will feed into it. And that will, you know, sometimes play havoc with that idea. But he's true to his word in that regard. Like, yeah, there's usually in the second half, there's a point where he goes, all right, now we're going to pound the football. And then you think, well, why aren't you pounding the football all the time?
Because
you're pretty good at it.
But to your point, it's hard when you have Devontae Adams, you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Randall Cobb. And the other thing I want to say is, look, if two plays, it's every game we lose, right? Two plays we block.
Right.
Two offensive plays we block halfway decently so Aaron can get to the second read or the check down. And two drops we take back.
Yeah, we win the
completely different game.
Completely different game.
Speaking, and the drops are ridiculous.
The drops are killer. Now, speaking of, that's a really good point and a good segue into our next point on the offense. Talking about if they just block better on two plays, say. There's one play in particular early in the game where Aaron tries to do a play-action pass. And Mercedes Lewis comes in, cold off the bench. He's on the edge. And you're like, okay, we've got Lewis in there. And we know he's solid. He's probably one of their best blocking tight end. And he totally whiffs on the block. And it basically ruins the play. And Graham would have been open over the middle. The tight end usage has been baffling to me. And I know you mentioned Jimmy Graham hasn't had a takeover game yet. He's been a little bit more productive. Now he's dealing with a knee injury. But, you know, you've got Lance Kendricks in there. And you saw the big drop. And obvious drops happen. But to me, especially once Bulaga went out, why on earth don't you have Mercedes Lewis in there helping your tackle?
Yeah.
At least, you know, a few more times per game. And I know Mike's offense is predicated on leaving those guys on islands. But it's so obvious that Kerrigan is handing Spriggs his lunch over and over again. Like, put Lewis in there.
Yeah.
So, and get Lewis into a groove, too, because that's the other thing. Like, he comes in cold off the bench, and he whiffs on that block. Well, yeah, it's not Madden. You don't just come in and, like, automatically do your job. And I know that's what they're paid to do. I know they're paid professionals.
Yeah.
But give the guy a rhythm. Give the guy some opportunity to get into a groove.
It goes to when you get a quarterback, you got to give him some, like, give him some reps. Get him warmed up.
Early
get him
in the game,
right?
Get him some easy completions.
That's a
football
feature.
101.
That's what we have to do. Now, what I want to say is, do you think, okay, so is it, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, He's spreading the different formations. He's using a lot of different plays. He's trying to make the offense more complex so that he gets this complex offense on tape. So therefore, the defensive coordinators, when they have all this stuff on tape, they've got too much stuff to evaluate.
Right.
So there's too many formations. If that's the case, which I actually believe is a little bit what his offense has always been, it's almost like too complicated.
Yep.
And it's almost like, it's to my point, it's like, what is so wrong with having Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis on the field almost all the time? What is wrong with having them and getting them in rhythm?
Well, and then because for every action, there's a reaction, and getting two tight ends on the field means that you have fewer wide receivers on the field.
But you have Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams, conceivably.
But Randall is not your perimeter guy. It's Geronimo, and you want Randall on the field. Well, at least you would think, and it's pretty clear that they do. So that means you're going to have him in the slot, and you're probably not going to split out Mercedes Lewis. So then you've got to split out Jimmy Graham, and now you've got Lewis in line. That's something that I think they could be cooking with gas. But then look at Geronimo Allison. How do you keep Geronimo Allison off the field? The guy's been the most consistent performer on offense in 3 weeks.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't think anybody would argue with that. Allison, of everyone on offense, Allison has been the most consistent.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because he was, like, probably the guy with the most questions about him, at least that I saw online this summer, like, leading into this year. Who's the number three wide receiver? Do you really think Allison will be it? Blah, 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 blah. He's been nothing but solid.
I mean, everyone thought he would make the team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It wasn't a question of would he make
the team. It was whether he was number three or not.
Was he going to be a solid number three?
Could somebody be
him
for number three?
Would one of these rookies come along and...
Which clearly is not the case.
No. But, yeah, you know, it's so funny. So there's so many options. It is so complicated. And it is, as you say, it's so easy to sit back after the fact and go, well, you should have done this and you should have done that. But, however, there are moments and there are kind of themes and narratives and I think game plan ideas where it's fair to say, I don't understand this. Like, we've seen McCarthy how many years now? Over a decade. So we've become very familiar with
there's trends.
How he calls a game, the flow, and how he reacts to certain situations. The other coaches across the sideline, they know this too. You know, if we see these things, you know they know this stuff. So it just, I guess, is a long-winded way of saying, really wish we would have some kind of, change-up.
Yeah,
I know,
innovation.
Yeah,
football
and I know
innovation.
This was a long topic this summer about the playbook, et cetera. And it just looks very, very similar.
Yeah. It's really hard to do, too. I mean, you're talking to someone. There's plenty of things I've done for decades, right?
Yeah,
and so you don't want to – it's hard to change.
Yeah.
There's something I like to bring up that I just try to never forget, and I do feel like I just – I have this – I don't know. You put this in my head last weekend about, like, are we stale right now? You know, yeah, we added Patton, but it looks like Dom Capers' defense out there. Yeah, we added Philbin, but he's not letting him call the plays. And so, you know, it's like – what are we? Where is the innovation? Like, my grandfather's hardware store was in Brilliant, Wisconsin. I'll tell this little small story. And, you walk in there and, you know, they used to blame like Home Depot and all these things. Well, Ace Hardware, there's a lot of local hardware stores in Wisconsin still because they innovated and they changed. They were like, oh, we'll sell flowers or, you know, they just brought in different things about what their
different
local community needed, right?
We'll
and they never stopped innovating, right? Mm-hmm. And they never, and that allows these other places to still exist, right? Now, that's not to say that Walmart's not going to take them. Walmart and Amazon are going to take everything over. But still, it is a point where you walked into his hardware store and it hadn't left 1960. Right, yeah. it was like Vince Lombardi walked in there one day and then walked out, and they never changed the store. Right, so I just it does feel it. It's week three.
Yep,
everybody needs to chill the F out
very early.
But it just I don't know. It's
now and now some of
it
this
does
is,
feel less.
It does, but now stagnant. This is all with a big varnished coat of we're coming off one of the worst performances we've seen this team have in a very long time. After an overtime tie with a very talented Vikings team, you saw the Vikings come out incredibly flat against the Bills last week. You saw the Packers have a very sloppy, unfocused performance in Washington. Like, so we're viewing everything. That's the latest kind of lens that we're viewing this through. I have little doubt that they will look at least somewhat better against the Bills. I don't know.
Wow, that's a vote.
I'm not
going to
sit here and say we've seen it way too many times. Where they go on these stretches of ineptitude, 4-6 a couple years ago comes to mind.
Yep.
You know, so I'm not sitting here saying they're going to completely bounce back this week, but they could. We got to let it play out. It's only week three.
Yep.
And now we need to talk about the defense.
Okay.
Because you were talking about Mike Pettine and how it still looks like Dom Capers' defense.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, though, you know, if it looks like Capers' defense, it's kind of the Jekyll and Hyde defense at this point. Like, there's always a half or a good stretch where they look pretty good, pretty decent. You're pretty excited at the prospects. And then there's a stretch or a half where they look awful, and they are giving up huge chunks of yards and points and et cetera. And I know, I've talked to like a couple guys on the team who have said they're just dying for a complete performance on defense. It just hasn't happened yet. I think it will happen, hopefully sooner rather than later, but it's just getting consistency through four quarters. That's the goal now.
But doesn't it feel like to you that we still cannot get, like, most of our sacks, you know, take the Clay Matthews target out of the picture
we'll
right
there,
now.
We'll get there in a second.
Okay?
We'll get there in
take
a second.
Take all that BS out and the fact that he's targeted.
Yep.
But it just feels like, and, you know, you watch the tape more than I, so I might be completely wrong, but it feels like most of our sacks have been coverage sacks. They haven't been penetration sacks.
That was on the tip of my tongue as you were speaking to say, you know what they were, Corey, and then you said it. Yeah, they've all, not all, but most of
and
them.
And that's not good. Like, we need 50-50 here, guys. Like, we need some penetration
sacks. We need to
beat somebody.
On my Twitter feed earlier today, I put up a video that I completely ripped from Ben Fennell over there at The Athletic. If you aren't, I highly encourage every Packer fan out there to find Ben's tape study post column that he does every single week for The Athletic. It is outstanding stuff. But there was a great example of Pettine getting pressure while not giving up coverage. And it was a great kind of design where he had Daniels and Kenny Clark as out wide.
Mm.
And then he was mugging the A-gap with the linebackers. and he brought corner blitzes from either side when having while having the linebackers drop out from that A-gap. And the offensive line didn't know what to do. It resulted in a check down, and they got off the field on third down. It was the first third down in the second half. And it's a great example of how Pettine can scheme up pressure without having these guys who can win one-on-one battles. The problem, you can't do that every down.
Yeah.
You can't do it every third down. You can't do it every obvious passing down. At some point, you got to win a one-on-one.
At some point, you have to have four guys put their hands on the ground and right. get to the quarterback.
Right, and get and
one
beat,
of those guys
and beat somebody
their guy.
In front of them.
Yeah.
I thought Reggie Gilbert actually played pretty well and had some opportunities. It's just the quarterback was able to find a read early. That was in the first half.
And I also feel like we sniff out screens. So far in three games, we're sniffing out screens better than we ever had, right?
Yes.
They're not getting killed
on the that smoke that teams ran for a billion yards last year. After that Saints game where the Saints, I think, ran four or five of them. And then once it was on tape, like that's all you saw against the Packers because it worked all the time.
And it worked every time.
And
yeah.
Can I tell you something? There is a key component to why the Packers are shutting those down this year. And his name is Jaire Alexander. Teams keep trying to test him on this stuff, and he keeps blowing it up. And there's three plays specifically in the last 2 weeks where he has absolutely taken the lead blocker, shed it, and just blown the play up. And that's what was not happening last year at all. Now, some of that's obviously on Jaire Alexander and his talent and his physicality, but some of that's coaching.
Yeah.
And some of that's a new defensive staff like saying, okay, we are not going to get beat on this stuff this year. So I think that's been encouraging. I think, you know, clearly the biggest issue is safety. The safety play, especially these big shots. We saw another big shot over the top on that first drive by Washington. And guess what? Joe Witt Jr., my man, my guy, love Joe Witt. He called it. After the Vikings torched them on that 75-yard touchdown to Diggs, they had defensive coach availability last week, and he was asked about giving up that touchdown, et cetera. And he had, I pulled this audio, I pulled this video. I wanted to have Joe talk about it himself because he knew this was coming. This opening shot from the Redskins, he knew it was coming, and they still couldn't stop it.
14 over the top, or you're going to get tested at least the next 4 weeks because it's on, you know, everybody's tape for the next 4 weeks. So, even though they did check the ball down, they're gonna push the ball vertically up the field. We have to do a better job of maintaining vertical control, you know, from not only the corner but the middle of the field. I mean, that's a dual play. So we're going to get tested. They should test us because we put, you know, a negative play on film. So that's just part of it.
That is part of it. And he was right. And they got tested. And you can bet $1 million that the Buffalo Bills and their superstar armed quarterback, Josh Allen, who can throw over them mountains. I mean, this kid's got a howitzer for an arm. He will throw it deep at some point on Sunday. The Packers have to be better.
Well, I hope our rookie is covering him.
Yes, Jaire or Josh. Either one of them. I'll take either one of them. But to me, it's the safety play. But to your point, I think there have been coverage sacks this year.
Yes.
And Pettine has shown, as you know, we were just talking about, Pettine has shown an ability with his scheme to get to the quarterback without, you know, guys winning one-on-ones. And
and the reality is one, just a slight elevation in Ha-Ha's game will fundamentally change our defense.
Agreed.
And I don't know if it's the playbook. I don't know if it's Will, I mean, the guy is one of these guys who just feel like he's an athlete and he comes to play.
Yep.
But there's something where it's like he just needs to take it to that next level,
right.
And that will change our defense.
I totally agree. Obviously, Bryce needs to play more consistently. It's really easy to see the plays where he's getting beat. We've seen it against Minnesota. We've seen it against Washington. He just needs to be more consistent down in and down out. And no one's talking about the plays where he plays well because, you know, those aren't highlights and they don't get, you know, shown on SportsCenter unless it's an interception.
Yeah.
But, you know, there have been good stretches from Bryce. He has just got to shore it up on these deep throws. And teams are going to keep throwing in his direction. And I know Alexander was on the coverage but on this one in Washington, but, you know, Bryce is there too. And he's tracking the ball. it's just he's the people are going to keep going to his side. They're going to keep going, whether it's cover one, whether it's cover two, whether it's cover three. They're going to keep going. Where's Bryce? Bryce? He has ID him before the snap
reality
of the ball.
Is he has the tools. Like, he has absolutely all the things that he needs.
I agree.
To play in this league. It's
finally, before we get off the defense, I just, you know, I don't want to belabor this because this has been all the rage, all the talk. I've been kind of, at this point, I'm just over it. But what is Clay Matthews supposed to do? What is Clay Matthews supposed to do? At this point, what is he supposed to do?
I mean,
tackling is illegal. sacking the quarterback is illegal. Being a football player is illegal. It's just, if I can't even fathom how frustrated Clay Matthews has to be right now.
Oh.
Like, what is he supposed to do?
You know it's jumped the shark when they had, I saw this thing on Facebook. It was Kevin Hart. There was a thing with
it was
Kevin
this
Hart.
This morning on Get Up.
Yeah, this morning. ESPN. Yeah.
Yep.
And they're all like putting, they're like copying all the memes that are out there now. Mm. It's become a joke of a joke of itself. Rich Eisen had the great take, which is interesting since, you know, he does get paid by certain entities.
Now obviously he's saying this on his own show for DirecTV.
Right.
But yeah, he's the face of NFL Network. He's there every Sunday morning in your living room talking, leading up to the 1 o'clock kickoffs. And here's the face and the voice of NFL Network saying, you guys are crazy. This is stupid. What are you doing?
Well, and I think I think we talked about this in the watch party. I think I think this is all intentional, guys. This is a feature, not a bug. Okay. This is 100% a feature, not a bug. Mm-hmm. This is intentional. This has to go with this. Now, whether you think this is the right approach, this is 100% they are trying. They do not want a nationally televised game to have an ambulance come on the field and everyone be quiet and you don't think about anything from football. You think about actual, like, real life. Humanity, like real life and how it's just a game and it's not like, you know, it means isn't life or death until that happens. You know, the Devontae Adams last year, like, I don't think they're taking the right approach, but clearly that's what they're doing. But it's just interesting to me. I mean, I think what people are seeing is this is how the NFL is a collection of mostly white, rich, privileged males.
Yeah.
And the competition committee is the cream of that crop. So it's like a cheese curd, right? It's like you skim off the fat and the stuff on the top, the worst of the worst, right? You got, Jerry Jones isn't on the competition committee. But
Mark Murphy is.
But Jerry Jones pulls some strings down the NFL,
He
is the shadow commissioner. It's not a joke. So, you know, you're not seeing a democratic process. There's no voice of the fan.
There's no voice of the players.
There's no voice of the player.
That's
there's no
the
voice
thing
of the
Aaron
fan.
Aaron Rodgers was talking about in his piece or his Q&A with The Ringer earlier this year, where, you know, you're coming up with these rules and you have zero player input. You've got GMs, you've got ownership, you've got, you know, coaches. There's zero player input on plays and style of plays and penalties that affect the players.
But you know, but a lot
none of it is, however.
But you know why that is, right?
None of that is collectively bargained.
Exactly. We talked about that when the last CBA was around.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like a chicken or an egg. Like, it's like, we won't support the players if they were to strike, right?
Right.
But the only, literally their only recourse.
Oh, 100%.
To get anything
any kind of gains.
Out of the NFL.
Any gains.
Out of
gains.
All of the yes. national football lawyers, yep. right?
Right.
Is to strike.
Yeah, 100%.
So
miss,
it's like.
And to strike and miss games.
Miss a season.
Miss games.
Real
plural,
games.
Many
real
games.
Games. Not preseason
regular
games.
Regular season
real games.
Games.
Yep.
And that will never happen.
No.
Like, don't hold your breath. Because you'll die.
Well, and it's sad. Like, I don't want that to as a
fan of football. Well, you don't want games gone.
Well, especially as a reverse commuter and resident of Green Bay.
Right.
You know, okay.
bought this house, people.
I just want to put this out there. Okay, you know how the sign says 104,000 people?
Uh huh. Yeah.
I don't think it's correct.
What, the Green Bay population?
Green Bay population.
You think they're fudging the numbers?
I've been telling people because I've lived there now for a little while, and I think it's like 60,000.
That feels like a lot.
There's no traffic.
There's nobody there. There's no there there.
There's no, no, Nagler. Friday at 5 o'clock.
Right.
You can get anywhere.
Oh, you can fire a cannon.
Okay, we're in the middle of it, right? This is UN Day. Yesterday was UN Day, and UN Day in New York means like just don't leave your house. Yeah, just don't go outside. Stay home. Yep.
The president was speaking, just forget it.
Forget about it. It's the UN is over there, and we're on the west side. But Green Bay, I'm like, what? So if Green Bay if they didn't have a home game because the players struck, man, they might lose the team.
Let me get some tumbleweeds going. We'll
have to get a lot of Billy Joel we'll have to get some, a lot of Billy Joel concerts.
Billy Joel concerts, some Steve Miller Band concerts.
But no, when you look at it fundamentally, right? The only way for the NFL to change is either through public opinion, and the only way public opinion matters, right, is for sponsors.
Sponsors. That's what I mean. Now you're talking.
It's public opinion affecting the sponsors, right? That's one way.
But that's a long game.
Oh, that's a way long game.
That's not instant.
You got to do some Alex Jones stuff. You got to do crazy stuff.
Going on.
Yes. Right. Or through the players, so that the players have a voice because they make 70% of the revenue, right? So.
Well, it's a little less than that. Yes.
All right, NBA 70%. Right. Anyway, they make a majority of the revenue. So without that, and in order for the players to do anything, they have to strike.
Yeah, 100%. If they want to gain anything in the bargaining table, at the bargaining table, yes, they have to strike. They never will. There's no way. Guys were taken out like loans with 20% interest. They're in a lockout. I mean, it's never going to happen. Is it? They just don't. They can't.
Right, the same way we were saying
the average career is 3 years.
Yep.
Guy's not missing a whole season to strike for the rights of guys who are coming after him. No, he wants to get paid now. He just worked his whole life to get to the NFL. Now he's going
to
strike?
Well, and back to that point about Kentrell Bryce, right? Why he didn't hit the guy. And you go back to he makes approximately, I'm not saying how much he makes, but he makes approximately $40,000, give or take, dollars a game.
Right.
And the fine is $24,000. I'll tell you right now, if you said you were going to fine me $24,000 of my $40,000, I'm not hitting anybody.
Them. Oh, here, wait. I got it. This is too funny. Clint Green on the chat says, in response to your Green Bay number fudging population comment, Clint says, Green Bay is just spread out.
Yeah. It's spread out into Appleton and Menasha. Yeah, okay. That doesn't count.
Green Bay is just spread out.
Well, and David Amon on the Facebook comments, says they've got people talking about the NFL, good, better, and different, a conversation about the NFL. And
a billion percent.
Ding, 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 ring a ding.
That's what you say. It's a feature, not a bug. 100%.
It's a feature, not a bug.
Oh, now we got lots to do yet. Okay, we're going to go through the Bills preview here. It's weird to think the Packers are still favored by 10. The Packers are favored by 10 points on Sunday, despite their horrific performance. And despite all the injuries, despite Aaron Rodgers limping around, and despite the Bills whooping up on the Vikings and their quarterback playing well, their young guy, the Packers are still favored by 10. That's a strong vote of confidence from Vegas.
Limpy Aaron Rodgers is better than anything you got.
Hey, you know who's coming back? You know who's coming back this weekend? Micah Hyde, the return of Micah Hyde. Ooh. Micah Hyde, who got a raw deal from the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, he did.
I say this all the time, and people always kind of go, well, you can't pay him because where were you going to play him?
So did
you
Hayward.
You had Morgan Burnett. So you had Ha-Ha Clint Dix. So you're not going to play him at safety, blah, 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 blah. Let me just say this. Okay, their whole kind of mantra about, draft and develop, what they never talk about is draft, develop, and pay.
Yes.
So you earn that second contract.
Yes.
There was not a more shining example of the type of player that you wanted in Green Bay than Micah Hyde.
Packer
a guy
people.
Who was drafted and had his ups and downs, but by the time it was down the stretch of the last year of his rookie deal, he was playing lights out football. He absolutely saved them on defense that year. That was the year of run the table. Saved them. Whether it was keeping the guy out of the end zone in Chicago, save a touchdown, whether it was jumping that Dak Prescott pass in the playoffs for the interception, play after play after play. Yes, would he get beat on occasion by tight ends? Yes, he would. Would he sometimes be out of position to make a tackle? Yes, he would. But he was still progressing and becoming a fantastic NFL player. So what you always preach, you want guys who are great in the locker room, who continue to develop, Packer people, et cetera, all this BS, right? So he does all of that and then gets to the precipice of free agency and you won't even talk to him, won't even return his agent's call, and you let him walk out the door. And Ted Thompson even said he's one of my favorite players I've ever drafted. That one blows my mind.
Yeah, but what year was that?
It was 2 years ago.
Okay, so you're talking about...
And then he goes to Buffalo.
But you're talking about...
And plays lights out.
You're talking about the 2015 to 2017 era.
Yeah,
okay? That is going to go down in history as not a good era.
That's correct.
And a lot of that is for the initials TT,
yeah,
okay?
I know.
And also, I think...
It's bad postscript on a decent
I also
career.
Think Micah Hyde suffered from the grass is always greener syndrome that some right. of us suffer from,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
where you don't know how good you got it till yep. it's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as soon as he was gone, mm-hmm. we were missing him.
Yes, 100%. And he was playing well.
He's playing well
in
still.
Another scheme in another yep. city. And he's taking that to Green Bay this Sunday. All right, real quickly, Buffalo's defensive front, they're a problem. The idea that we're even starting Byron Bell alone is problematic. Mm. But against this front, Kyle Williams and company, Hughes on the outside, I think Bakhtiari can lock him down, especially at home. But still, this team gets after it, and the Packers have their hands full. Here's the other thing. The Bills are only allowing 80 yards on the ground per game on average. 80 yards a game? That's a lot of Aaron Rodgers on Sunday.
Or a lot of Aaron Jones.
Oh, maybe.
Just keep pounding Aaron Jones. We'll break that 80 barrier.
There you go. I like it. Okay.
Mike ain't going to do it. I want to see the return
Banky's
of?
Banky's game plan.
I want to see the return of red-faced Mike. I am loving that.
Oh, that video was awesome. That sideline video of Mike, like, losing it at the officials.
It's amazing. I never want to be on the other end of Mike McCarthy when
he's
angry.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I don't.
No.
Like
it's not a great place to be.
Like I bet that ref peed a little, just a little bit.
When you saw Big Mike running after him, well, you saw he had like a backpedal, like he was a corner.
I mean,
he was get me out of here.
I definitely think he was like, wait, I know I'm in the NFL, I know this is professional, but I'm scared right
I'm
now.
I'm about to get thrown to the ground and pounded.
I wish he could. I also wish, you know what? I wish he would have got ejected too. Like,
I know.
There's some times where
close.
You just got to take a stand yeah. and you just got to be like, this is ridiculous.
That would have been it, too.
That was
like,
it.
That was it.
That's it.
Like, especially coming after Rodgers being thrown into the turf, no flag. Ugh. And then Clay Matthews has a perfect picture tackle and he gets flagged. Like, yes, that would have been the absolute perfect
I would
time
have been done.
To,
I would
to,
have been like, I'm
to
done.
Make a statement and say, this is not football and this is not what I'm here for. And this is what any of these men here who sacrifice so much and work so hard. None of us are here for this, but you know, he stopped just short of that.
It's unfortunate.
It is.
Because that goes a long way towards, you know, how people feel about you. Not and players too.
Although
right?
I will say, I had a lot of people in my mentions. I put up that video on Twitter, and I had a lot of people who say, you know, I'm not a Mike fan, or I've always hated Mike, or Mike's not my favorite. But I loved this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people loved the passion, and people loved seeing
Mike
that.
Was doing what we all were doing inside.
Exactly. Or we were doing on the watch party
We were
stream.
Doing, but we were doing it in a lot nerdy, dorkier
yes,
way.
Exactly.
He was doing it
speaking
in a
cool way. Speaking of nerdy and dorky, I believe it is time, Mr.
Oh, it's
Banky.
Time? Let's do it.
It is time. That's right. It's the return of This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, that venerable series.
What's so venerable about
it? I have no
it?
Idea. I said it once years ago, and it just stuck.
It just stuck.
Somebody asked on the chat if you miss Vic Ketchman.
No. Who misses Vic Ketchman? Nobody even knows who he is.
You know, he still has a blog
Get
or something that
here.
He writes
so
on.
So does Bob McGinn, and nobody reads it. Come on.
But Vic Ketchman is still answering Packer questions.
Is it what?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He's
That's
allowed.
What I
he's allowed to answer Packer
it's
questions.
It's his own blog. He can do whatever he wants.
What is the
Somebody
internet coming to?
Somebody sent me the
to?
Link, and I was like, wait, what?
What is the internet
like,
coming to?
Why is he not
to?
Answering Terry Bradshaw questions? Or
this is, yeah,
Jaguar
or like
questions.
The Jacksonville. He's like a Jacksonville Jaguars expert. He should be answering. He can only answer Mercedes Lewis questions.
It kind of just kind of blew my mind.
He's the worst.
All right, all right. Speaking of blowing my mind,
Bob McGinn, then Vic Ketchman. No, Vic Ketchman. I think Vic Ketchman's above Bob McGinn for me.
Oh, I tried to segue out of it.
Why did you bring it up?
Somebody asked.
Oh man, Vic Ketchman was the worst. You know who's the best? Use the opposite of Vic Ketchman.
Who's that?
Wes Hodgkiewicz.
That's right.
Love me some Wes Hodgkiewicz.
Our boy.
I wish he would watch the show. He
won't.
He never does.
Hey, I will say, though, it's throwback week, right? They're wearing the throwback unis.
So
I wore my throwback hat. But on the Packers-sanctioned show, Packers Unscripted, Hodgkiewicz wore regular green. And while Spofford was up in the throwbacks.
What?
You know, that's just lazy.
That's weird.
It's throwback week, Hodgkiewicz.
That's weird.
Put the blues on.
My only pet peeve with Hodgkiewicz is that he is an East Green Bay guy and I'm a West Green Bay guy. Other than that, like we're blood brothers.
Yeah, but it's because like you live right by the stadium.
No, but so I think even though I was born in East Green Bay.
He doesn't want to live by work.
Even though I was born in East Green Bay, I'm really a West Green Bay guy.
All right, so I want to give a shout out to our Patreon people, Patreon patrons.
They actually got some exclusive content.
We got exclusive
content
for our patrons on Patreon. If you haven't and you want to support the show, you want to support Cheesehead TV, support what we do, this is the kind of thing you'll get. We have a little clip here from an exclusive interview with Randall Cobb. It's up on our Patreon page. This is kind of the last question I asked him about. We talked about last night for a good 15 minutes. We talked football, fatherhood, the combination of the two of them. And in this clip, you'll hear Randall talking, but you'll also hear his infant son, who he was tending to while we spoke. It's just great. This is his kind of take on how having a child has changed his perspective when it comes to the game of football.
It definitely, I think, has changed my perspective, and I think I felt that the moment that he was conceived, when we found out that we were pregnant with him, I felt the change in me when it came to football as well. And not to say that I love this game. This has been my life since I was 7 years old. So that I think it just that fire was reignited in a different way. And, you know, I think I attack my days differently. And also, like I said before, I don't ride that roller coaster like I used to. I think having him to come home to after a bad practice or, you know, after a great game, it brings life back full circle to what's important. You know, after the Chicago game, the opening night, I came home and, you know, I was on daddy duty and I was feeding him every 2 hours. And, you know, when I got home from Washington this past week, I was obviously down and out on myself. So whenever I was able to hold him, it kind of put life back there into perspective. And I know that, you know, there's always tomorrow. So, I'm ready to go back to work tomorrow.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking time out to talk to us today. Randall Cobb, you're an absolute legend. Thanks a lot for the time, man.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
So there you go. If you want to hear the whole thing, join our Patreon
Randall
page.
Randall Cobb, the only place you can listen to that interview.
The only place you can hear the whole interview is on our Patreon page. So thanks to our patrons on Patreon. You guys are absolute legends.
Yes.
And that's the kind of stuff we'll be throwing up there throughout the season.
Not only that, but we got a little contest, a Twitter contest.
Twitter contest time. We used to do this back in the day.
And this, you know what's funny is I saw this hat on Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, you did.
And I was like, I really want that hat. And, you know, I'm a little selfish. I really want it. It's really cool. But we're going to give it away.
We are going to give it away.
So, okay, if you have a Twitter account, these are the rules. You got to use the hashtag PackerTransplants. We've got it on graphics right now.
Packers, not Packers transplants.
Because we clearly don't know how to make a title.
Nope.
And you have to use @CheeseheadTV. We don't care what else you do. So whoever, however you want to say it, however you want to do it, but you got it. Whoever gets the most likes and retweets.
Likes and retweets combined.
Likes and retweets combined. And Aaron Nagler.
On a single tweet.
Aaron Nagler is going to be the judge because I'm going to be in Green Bay. So he's going to be the judge and the arbiter on Friday. He's going to announce it. Cheesehead TV will announce it, and we will ship you your very own Coach's Sideline Packers hat. It's new. It's even got the decal on it. Come on, people.
It's brand new.
Come on, people.
Never been worn by any human. Maybe some lab animals
at
some point.
We need to change point. That. Oh, no.
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay. I was going to wear it. No. Then no one will tweet.
No one will have
They'll
it.
They'll be like, so brand new.
So let's get some people tweeting on that. And then finally, next week, speaking of the Packer blogosphere, we're going to start our little outreach program. We're going to start having some other bloggers, some other YouTubers, some other Packer fans on the blogosphere segment starting next week with Matt. You can call me Matub. He's the host of one of my favorite segments in all of the internet, Hottest Take of the Week. He took down my old buddy Ryan Wood the other day. I was laughing really hard. Got to have Matub on the show next week. Make sure you're tuning in for that because it's gonna be a good time. And that'll do it. That's it, Corey. We did it. I mean, that's everything, right?
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us all across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV or any of our social channels. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packer fans worldwide.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?